Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Raise your hand if you grew up in church. I mean, like you just grew up and that's kind of your thing. Raise your hand if you grew up singing hymns. Yeah, some of you are like, man, no, that's great. That's awesome. I'm glad that you are here. The hymns of our faith are some of the great ways that we learn the theology and who God is and what God wants us to be about in our lives. And so I want to play a little game of what's my line. I'm going to say a line or two from a famous hymn, and then we'll see if you can fill in the next line to the song. So I'll point to you when it's your time to go. So we'll go for a couple of lines on three or four different famous hymns, and we'll see how you do. We'll start off with an easy one. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Very good. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the
way to go, class. Good name there. How about this one? Let's try this one. There is power, wonder-working power.
In the blood of the Lamb.
All right. There is power, wonder-working power.
In the precious blood of the Lamb.
All right. Very good. You're two for two. Let's try a third one. This one may be a little bit tougher. There is a fountain filled with blood. Very good. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Everybody was trying to find that key there. Very good. That famous hymn right there was penned by a guy named William Cowper, who lived in from 1731 to 1800. Okay, bonus round. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
He washed it white and
snow. Awesome. Give yourselves a hand. Well done. If those hymns are new to you, they are an old part of our faith. And man, there's just some richness in some of the great, great hymns, great songs, great expressions of our faith. You know, all those great hymns that we were singing and reflecting on there have a common theme that reverts back to the image of baptism. Baptism and its imagery run all throughout those hymns, and they all tell the truth about how when we submerge our sin-filled lives in the blood of Jesus Christ, we then come forth as ones who have been made new, made clean, given a fresh start, if you will, washed. Now, the theology of those hymns that we just were singing, man, are solid. I mean, it is right on target, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled on the cross, which covers our sin, which makes us right before a holy God. The Bible says that it is the wrath of God that crushed Jesus on the cross, and that when His blood was spilled, when His blood poured out of His body, that is what makes us clean. That is what makes us whole. That's what makes us new. That's how we begin a fresh start with God. That's how our hearts get washed. We are indeed washed in the blood of Christ. That may sound strange to us today, but when we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and His blood that was shed on the cross applies to our heart and covers our heart, we're washed. We're washed. Somehow we've gotten this idea along the way. Some have gotten the idea that it's when our baptistry is right up here at the bottom. bottom of that cross. And when we wash ourselves, when we go through those waters, that there's something magical in those waters that wash away our sin. Others may have grown up in a tradition where instead of going under the water for baptism, maybe you grew up in a church where they sprinkle you as a baby. And somehow we've thought along the way, as long as I'm sprinkled, baptized by sprinkled, that washes something away from us now that we've been sprinkled. And you know, that's actually, if you're a history buff in here, raise your hand. I kind of like history. A few of you like history. That's what Constantine believed back in 313 AD. Only he didn't care really so much about being made new as he just wanted his Roman army to be counted as those who were on God's side. And so he actually baptized all of his troops all at one time. He got his helpers to get big palm leaves. Imagine helpers getting these big palm leaves like this, and there being big pools of water, and having his armies walk through, and they'd dip it, and as they came through, they'd just fling water on them and baptize them and wash them, and now they're ready to go. I'm clean, I'm washed, I'm new. Okay, let's go kill some people in the name of the Lord, because now God's on our side. When really nothing got washed off of those Romans except for maybe the dust from the Roman road. And you know, that baptismal water, it doesn't wash literally anything away. Someone marketed baptism in a bottle. Somebody gave this to me. It says, wash away your sins. Bubble bath, the sanctified soap. It's for liars, cheaters, and wrongdoers. Yeah. 100% holy is what it says. And it's got seven instructions for it. Directions for use. Kneel before thy tub. That's number one. Number two, reflect upon thy wrongdoing. Number three, run a warm bath. Number four, pour in enough bubble bath to equal your sin. And then it has little parentheses. Double the amount estimated. Number five, submerge thyself in the blessed bubbles. Number six, soak. Number seven, arise. Cleansed from sin and ready to go do it again. That's what the little baptism in a bottle says. It also says on there that individual soaking time will vary. So, you know, when you think of baptism like that, it seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Yeah, seems kind of silly, washing away your sins in the waters. But for some reason, there are many people on the planet who that's when they describe baptism, that's kind of how they would describe it. Yeah, I'm baptized and it washes my sin away. The baptismal waters have some kind of magical sin bleaching power in them. But let's see what the Scripture teaches. That's always a good thing, to see what God's Word says about a subject. And we're going to look in the New Testament this morning. Why don't you turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 1. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Mark chapter 1 is going to be on page 836. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. I'll give you a brand new one. I just want everybody to have a copy of God's Word. In Mark chapter 1, we're going to be introduced to a guy who specializes in baptism. So if you didn't bring a Bible, you don't want to look on a Bible, you'd rather see it on the screen, it'll be on the screen for you as well this morning. We're going to look at this guy who actually had baptism as a part of his name, John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. And so we're going to look at the first 11 verses of Mark chapter 1. Let's begin. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written," where?
in Isaiah the prophet.
So he's going to give us a little prophecy, okay? This comes from Isaiah 40, verse 3.
Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight.
And John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of what?
Repentance.
Proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Verse 5. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. I've baptized in the Jordan River, and I'm telling you, it is cold. It is really cold. And that's where John was baptizing, in the cold Jordan River. It says, and they were confessing their sins. Verse 6. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Who's John talking about?
Jesus.
He's talking about Jesus. He's preparing the way for Jesus the Messiah to come. Verse 9, check this out. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was what? He was baptized. So if you're going to be a follower of Jesus and live your life like Jesus and follow in his footsteps, at some point along the way, after you put your faith, hope, and trust in him, he's saying, I want you to be baptized. I want you to be baptized. He came from Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up, so he wasn't sprinkled, when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Okay, so do you have the scene there? Do you have the scene? This Old Testament prophecy that we read early on, found in Isaiah 40, verse 3, is being fulfilled, that said there's going to come a day when the kingdom of God is going to be at hand. And God says he's going to have a person who's going to come before the Lord. He's going to be ringing the bell. He's going to be letting everybody know what's going on. And he's going to send his messenger ahead of the long-awaited Messiah to get the grounds ready for the seeds of the gospel to be planted. And many, hear this, many are going to love Jesus. They're just not going to like his ideas. They love Jesus. They're just not going to like all of his ideas. In a sense, John the Baptist played the part of an ancient Paul Revere. And Paul Revere said, the red coats are coming, the red coats are coming. That's not what John the Baptist was saying. John the Baptist is saying, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. It's time to repent. Did you catch that there in verse 4? Look at verse 4 again. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of what? Repentance. Underline that word, repentance. Highlight that on your phone. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The word repent, the Greek word for repent is the word metanoia. Metanoia means literally rethink the way you think about something and then allow it to cause you to go in a new direction. When you love God with all your mind, you're thinking about life, and he's saying there's some things in your life. You need to rethink the way you think about that and start thinking about it like I think about it. And when you and God get on the same wavelength mentally, he's going to lead you to go in a new direction. That's what repentance means. Rethink the way you think about things. And John the Baptist was saying, hey, we need to turn our lives around here. We've been going in a wrong direction. The Messiah is coming. The kingdom is coming with him. Won't you prepare yourself by metanoia, by repenting, by by rethinking the way you think about life and thus changing your actions from this point forward. Verse 5 says this, "And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." They were agreeing. They were saying, "You know what? You're right. Yes, we need to turn our lives around. Our lives are a mess. We need to get right with God as the kingdom and the king comes and shows up. Let's demonstrate that expression and desire of our hearts in a visible, tangible expression of our faith. Let's be baptized. Let's be washed," is what baptismo means, to be washed. Let's go into the water and symbolically wash ourselves and begin a fresh start, a fresh new way with God. I love what the amazingly insightful theologian named William Willimon writes about this idea of baptism that John is administering. Willimon says, "This prophetic voice crying out in the wilderness appears, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. He is not the Christ. John is the one who gets us ready. And how does one prepare for this new day, this new age that is coming upon us? Repent. Change your mind and then change your ways and get washed." Get washed. Willimon goes on to say, like the prophets of old, John's words just strike us abrasively against the easy certainties of the religious establishment. He will let us take no more comfort in our rites, in our traditions, in our ancestry. Everybody must submit to be made over. Everybody must descend into the waters, especially those who are religiously secure and morally sophisticated. Because God is able to rise up children even from the stones if all the religious ones fail to submit, turn, and repent. And so Willimon asks the question, how shocked do you think the church really was when they look on the banks of the Jordan River and see their Lord standing there waiting to enter the waters, rubbing shoulders with the sinners who were descending into the waters? How shocked do you think they were when Jesus says, "I want you to wash me. I want you to baptize me"? The conversation is found in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 15. Look at it. It's on the screen here. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered John, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.'" And then John consented. Then he consented. I mean, Willimon just goes on to ask that question. How can it be that the Holy One of God should be rubbing shoulders with the sinners who are on their way into the waters? And the early followers, the early church struggled with that. It's okay to struggle in your faith about what you believe and why you believe it. Stay curious in your faith. Stay curious as you read the Bible. The early church did. Have you ever thought about this question? Why must our Lord be baptized? Why must he enter the waters, this repenting bath? What a great question. What a great question. Here's the answer. When Jesus was baptized, his baptism was not only the inauguration of his mission, But it also was a shockingly unexpected revelation of the nature of his mission. Think about that. Okay? His baptism became a snapshot of his whole ministry. Why so shocking? On two different occasions, Jesus uses baptism to refer to his own impending death. Okay? He asks his half-hearted disciples over in Mark chapter 10, verse 38, he asks them this question: are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism I'm about to be plunged into? Had he already been baptized in Mark chapter 10, yes or no? He's talking about a baptism he's about to be plunged into. What's he talking about? His death on the cross. You're buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And as Jesus submits to John's bath of repentance, Jesus begins to show the radical way that he is going to confront the sin that enslaves all of humanity. You see, Jesus' baptism that was started in the Jordan would end at Golgotha, where the cross was. And you know what that is? Repentance. Self-denial. Metanoia to the fullest. Did Jesus have any sin at his baptism that he needed to repent of? He's leading people to rethink the way they think about what they are doing. Jesus is seeking an even more radical metanoia than John was asking people to submit to. See, Jesus' message isn't the simple one of John the Baptist, be cleaned. Jesus is saying, be killed. Think about that. See, what Jesus does is he takes John's idea of baptism and he builds upon it. He expands the idea of baptism that John was preaching and teaching. John was teaching baptism is like a washing tub. Wash your sins away. And Jesus is going, yes, now let's expand the idea of baptism from waters that are a baptismal washing tub and let's make it a drowning pool. Love Jesus, I just don't always like his ideas. See, this is no longer a place to express, I'm clean. Or as mom and dad told me, I'd say when I get out of a bath when I was a little boy, I'm all fresh. See, the baptismal waters are a place to declare, I'm choosing to die. That Christ may live in me. That I may be raised to walk in newness of what? Life, not more religious determination. Newness of life. From washing to drowning. Man, you may be sitting there saying the same thing I did when I'm considering this. I love Jesus. I just don't always like his ideas. It's hard. I'm not sure I like this whole concept of dying, of drowning in those waters. I kind of like the idea of Jesus just washing that sin right out of my heart. Wait a minute. That's not what those hymns were talking about that we were singing earlier.
That's right.
Yeah? I mean, those hymns, they're not talking about baptism in a bottle.
that washes that sin away. They're talking about a drowning. They're talking about a death where somebody bled out. This isn't a cheap baptism that we're talking about. It's the costly idea that Jesus calls us to when we consider following Him through His idea of baptism. It's a costliness that Paul wrote about. Jot this down. Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11. Paul writes, he says, "So you also must consider yourselves," what? "Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Willimon says, in baptism, the old Adam or the old self is drowned. That's what Paul writes about in Colossians 3:3. "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Willimon goes on to say, to be baptized into Christ and in the name of Christ means to be incorporated into the way of life which characterized His life, the life of the emptied out one, the servant, the humble one, the obedient one, obedient even unto death.
That's right.
Now what Paul wrote to his friends at the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, about verses 5 through 8, he writes, "Have this mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of" what? "Death." Even to death where? On the cross.
That's right.
And so Willimon goes on and he says, that day in the Jordan, knee deep in the cold water, with old John drenching him, the anointed one began his way down to the cross. He was saying, "This is my mission." And his baptism intimated where his mission finally would end, and his whole life was wrapped up in that sacred and symbolic sign. And you know what? Our baptism is meant to do the same. Willimon says, the chief biblical analogy for baptism is not the water that washes, but the flood that drowns. You see, men and women, discipleship is more than just turning over a new leaf. It's more fitful and disorderly than just gradual moral formation. Nothing less than daily, often painful, lifelong death will do. And to be quite honest, that is a difficult idea to like and to embrace. But that is Jesus' idea of baptism. It is more than a washing tub. It is a drowning pool. So when we say at the end of our time together, in community and that means follow Jesus. Love your neighbors. Bless the city. And if you're being made into a disciple, that means you're dying a daily death all day long. You go, why do you say that? Because that's what Jesus said. Well, where did He say that? Didn't learn that one in Awana. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. It's Luke 9:23 and 24. Look at it on the screen. "And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross" when?
daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He talks about death again in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 24, when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and what? Dies. It remains alone. But if it dies, it will what? Bear much fruit." You'll never bear fruit as a follower of Jesus if you don't first die to yourself. You'll just do a lot of good things. That's different. You go, how's that different? Go read Ephesians 2, 1 through about verse 10. I love Willimon's conclusion on baptism. He writes, "On the bank of some dark river, as we are thrust backwards, onlookers will remark, 'You could kill somebody like that.' To which old John would now say, 'You're getting the idea. You're getting the idea. You're finally catching on.'" Let me just ask you this question. Where are you at with baptism this morning? Where are you at? Are you ready to embrace Jesus' idea of baptism? Have you been going, "Yeah, man, I love Jesus, and whoa, this is new, but you know what? If that's his idea, I'm going to learn to like that too." On the end of your row, there's a little card. Would you grab it? Looks like this. Looks kind of like the little Connect card. Looks like this. Would you pass it down so that every single person has one? I'd like for every single person to have a little card like this. Because I want us to think about what God wants us to do as individuals this morning, okay? There's four little choices on this. It says, "My response to God's word." My response to God's word. Take that out and look at it for a moment. Don't mark any of them yet. Let me walk through it because I want to make sure you have a chance to look at all of them. And when you finish this morning, if you'll just leave it in the place where you're seated, we'll gather them and we'll celebrate with you later this week. Today, God wants you seriously to consider the things that you've heard this morning regarding baptism. Your first one that I want you to look at, maybe number one, maybe this is you. "I will pray daily this week about being baptized." Maybe you've never been baptized by immersion and you're going, "Man, I'm going to pray about it. I'm not ready to do that this morning, but I will commit to praying about that." Man, if that's you, great. In just a second, mark that one. Put your name and your contact info there. We won't call you on that one. I just want to know who it is because our staff's going to pray with you about what God would have you to do regarding baptism as you're praying about that. Some of you are sitting here and maybe you're going, "Man, I've got some more questions about what it means to be baptized. I'd like for somebody to contact me this week." You can mark that second little box there. Put your name and your contact information, and I'll call you this week, or one of our staff members will call you this week, and we'll set up a time to sit down with you and go, "Hey, how can we help? What questions do you have? Let us help you take a next step in your faith." Now, the third box here, maybe this is you. You're going, "Man, I'm ready to be baptized. I'd like to take the next step." And you may be going, "You mentioned being baptized this morning. I don't know that I'm quite ready for that. I didn't bring a change of clothes. I didn't bring, I know you got like robes up there." Hey, you know what? Dan went to Walmart. He's got some t-shirts back there, some shorts back there. We put the robes back there. And so if you are like, "Yeah, I'm ready this morning," just a second, you can meet me right down here. Dave Peters, one of our ministry residents, is going to be down here. And if you want to be baptized this morning, great. Awesome. Just fill that out and bring your card with me, with you. And we'll do it this morning. Others of you are going, "Man, I'm not there. I'd like my family to be here," or whatever. Awesome. Great. But if you'd like somebody to contact you to talk about that next step, mark that one and we'll contact you this week. We'll set a date for it. Some of you may be like me, and I'm this fourth one here. I trusted Jesus as my Savior when I was, and put when that was for you, second grade for me. I was baptized by immersion when? For me, it was in 1980. Well, when was it for you? And jot that down and put your name on it there, because we as a staff this week, we want to pray with you. We want to rejoice with you. Maybe this morning is a refresher that, yes, I did do that. I did put my faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. I have been baptized. I see what that baptism means in a little different way now. But man, that is awesome. And can I just tell you, that is a great part of your story. That's a great part of your story. And we've made in this series these little kits called Tell the Story, Sharing the Good News at Home and Beyond. This is a great part of your faith story that you need to be able to tell with your family, with your friends. If our faith starts at home, make sure that you're talking with your family about when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and when you were baptized. It's a very important part of our story. If you haven't picked one of these kits up, pick one up this morning on your way out. I'll just tell you, man, everybody needs to come to that place where they're making that decision. For me, I trusted Christ when I was in the second grade in Waco, Texas. I was baptized on March the 23rd, 1980. In First Baptist Church of Waco, Peter McLeod was our pastor then. The water was freezing cold, not Jordan River freezing cold, but it was pretty cold. Cold enough for me to remember it many years later. I'm so thankful that I had a mom and dad who raised me and raised my brother, my sister, and I in church where we could learn about Jesus, one day make a decision to trust Him as our Savior. My mom grew up a Baptist. She trusted Christ as her Savior when she was 9 years old at Pioneer Drive Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. And she was baptized in that church shortly afterward. Now, my dad's a different story, but he's got a great story to tell. My dad grew up Episcopalian. He was baptized by sprinkling as a baby in the Episcopal Church. He later became an altar boy who helped the priest of his church that he grew up in with the church services. Dad trusted Jesus as his Savior about the time he became an altar boy when he was finished with his confirmation classes. And so life goes on. Dad and Mom meet each other at Baylor. Dad is surrounded by all these Baptists, okay? He meets this dyed-in-the-wool Baptist beauty from West Texas. They later get married, the Baptist and the Episcopalian. They decide they're going to raise their family up in the Baptist church. And Dad just never wanted to be baptized by immersion and thus become a member of the Baptist church. That's one of the requirements for being a member of the church, the Baptist church, Arapaho Road Baptist Church, is that every member of the church has been baptized after they put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. Okay, that's not you yet. We're welcome here. We're glad you're here. If you've been sprinkled as a baby, you're welcome here. You can become a member of a life group, but before you become a member of the church, you would need to be baptized. It doesn't mean that your sprinkling as a baby is not important. It means you would need to come to that place where my dad came. As we continue to talk about baptism and what it means and the significance of it, because Dad kept saying, I'm not going to be baptized just to jump through a religious hoop so I can become a member of a religious organization because some man said I need to do that. If I'm ever going to do that, it's because that's what God is leading me to do. And I'll tell you this, if the only reason you want to become a member of Arapaho Road Baptist Church, or you want to become, that you want to be baptized is so you can become a member, but it's not because it's what you believe Jesus is leading you to do, I won't baptize you. That is a religious hoop you're jumping through that is not what Jesus had in mind. Let's walk. Let's talk. We did that. Dad and I had great conversation. We were on the beach one year and having a conversation. I said, you know, I think I am ready to be baptized. I think it's what God is leading me to do. And I want you to do it. When we get back home, when our family's there, I want you to do it in our backyard, in our swimming pool, because that's a sacred place. And I had the opportunity on a Labor Day weekend in September to baptize my dad in the swimming pool. That's my sister Sarah there with her cup of coffee. And when we walked out, you know what happened? It started to sprinkle. True story. Started to sprinkle. And it was as if the Lord was saying, well done. Well done. I'm at the heart of this. And Dad just came out of the water and just went, yeah. I'm all fresh. And if you'd like to be baptized this morning, in just a second, we're going to stand. I'm going to be right down here. You can just meet me right down here. And we'll go back, we'll get robed up, we'll come, and we'll be baptized in just a second. Just remember, it's not a wash tub, it is a drowning pool. And when you walk into those waters, you're echoing the words that Paul wrote. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If you're able to, would you stand with me and pray? And then if you are at a place where you're ready to be baptized this morning, you can just meet me right down here. Lord Jesus, we love you. We trust you. We give our lives to you. And this morning, we make a decision to either rejoice when we were baptized, or we make some other decisions there to pray about being baptized this week, or to have a minister call us and talk through some things we might have questions about, or Lord, to set up a time. But some in this room are ready. And if they are, Lord, and today is the day, that's great. We can make that happen today. Lord, others may just need to put their faith, hope, and trust in you and need some help in that. Lord, if that person is wanting some help there, I pray that they'd connect with me right after our service in the Home Life Center. Others may be ready to take a next step of becoming a member. Great. I pray that they would have the courage to meet with me in the Home Life Center and say, hey, I'm ready to take a next step. Lord, whatever it is, we want to respond to you this morning with immediate obedience. And Lord, thank you that you help us to know who you are and who you want us to be. And help us to rejoice and be obedient when it comes to whatever you're leading us to do in baptism. In your name we pray, and everybody said,
thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.